Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Coach Biancardi, welcome to the Youth Hoops Pod. I appreciate you being back here.
All right, Brendan. I think this is my second go-round.
Yeah, second or third. You've definitely been on here two or three times on now. I'm not sure. So, we're excited to have you back. I think the players and parents and coaches that listen to this when you come on get a lot of value out of it. So want to talk today about just the normal stuff, college recruiting, scouting, rankings, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I guess first let's start with what have you been up to the last few months or during COVID and kind of the start of the winter basketball season?
Well, I think I've been doing what most people have been doing, working from home. Done a lot of scouting for the high school rankings by virtual film. Had a chance to watch a lot of events all over the country. Event operators have been very kind and generous to give me an access to watch the event because I know they charge a lot of people because of, you know, they need to produce some revenue themselves. But most event operators have been good about it. And so I've had a chance to watch a lot of players on film. And now we started the college season. Done a lot of games so far in the ACC, and I do them right from the studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been on site a couple of times, but most of my games have been from the studio, and we're hoping to continue this season so we can get to an NCAA tournament. That's the goal for everyone on the college level, on the high school level. It's let's get to the state tournament and play that this year. And I think both levels are on the right path. The NCAA came out with the, you know, Indianapolis Final Four type of situation. It's not a true bubble, but it is a place where everyone will go and, you know, be under the same rules with the same protocol. And I think that's it's a great move by Dan Gavitt and his staff.
Yeah. So a few questions there. They're all based around, this virtual aspect. So number one, how is it watching players on film and trying to evaluate them? I mean, you're a former college coach, so you have plenty of experience watching film, trying to evaluate recruits and things, but how is it now doing that, especially if it's like there's no opportunity to see them in person and all you have is film?
Yeah, and there were some events, as you well know, in the state of Florida, state of South Carolina. Had a chance to attend a couple of events in South Carolina, the On the Radar Hoops by Sean Williams and the Big Shots event by the Schneiders were two really high-level events. I think I saw you.
Yeah.
We were watching Caleb Foster.
Yep. Yeah, at Big Shots.
Yep. And so film has always been a great supporting tool. Brendan, you know, kind of backs up what you've seen live. Or it could be a great introduction to a player that you've never seen. So you watch film on him for the first time. But to have the only basis of evaluation being the film, it's a little difficult because there's things that film doesn't tell you. Now, film doesn't tell you how athletic somebody is. It doesn't give you a true sense of their physical presence on the court or lack of physical presence on the court. You don't see a lot of body language. You don't see basketball IQ as much as you would like to, or as much as you can when you're there live. And I watch whole game tapes. I don't watch segments. I don't watch highlights. I don't watch clips because they can make anyone look good. And they usually cut out, you know, the mistakes or the turnovers or the bad reactions. So watch whole game tape. it gives you a lot, but it doesn't give you everything. But in this time in our life, it's the only thing we really have. And it's been very, very helpful.
Yeah. What about broadcasting from the studio virtually? How has that been? Is that quite a different experience, or is it okay?
No, that's been really different. That's been new for everyone. You go and sit in a studio in a room by yourself, and your play-by-play partner is either in the next room or he's in another city. And that's kind of confusing because you get to see him on a computer, but you're not next to him during the broadcast. So you don't get that live interaction. It's almost like scouting. You don't get the reaction.
I guess.
What's that?
The nuance and the little details, you don't pick up on that as well.
Yeah, you can't pick up on the nuances of the game, but even the person you're talking with, you don't know when he's really going to be finished with his sentence. And, you know, we step on each other a lot. And then you're watching the game on a big monitor, which is different than being there live, which when you're live, you know, you see the bench, you see all 10 players, you can see reactions, you can see interactions. And so really, I'm just watching the game like you are and commenting on it. And it's quite different. There's a whole different panel of buttons that you have to press. And if you press the wrong button, you could lose the feed of the game, or you could mute myself, you know, but it's we all had to pick up on it. There's home kits, like a lot of guys call games at home now. So they have the same kit that I have in the studio, but they have it delivered to their home. And so think about this. You're in your home right now. And if I was in my home right now and we had to call a college basketball game, it's unique. It's different. And at first it's difficult, but I think we're getting used to it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all of this stuff once things open back up. But it seems we're still quite a ways off. But anyway, yeah. What have you had any conversations with college coaches on recruiting recently? Just like, what is happening with recruiting now? I know there's some talk about the NCAA possibly extending the dead period, and maybe we don't get the April live events again that we normally get, and even like the backlog from last year with a lot of players kind of getting an extra year of eligibility or whatever it is, or just kind of the chaos and mess that is recruiting now due to COVID. Like what have your conversations been like with them?
Yeah, chaos is a pretty good word because it's been like no year that I can even remember. I mean, just with COVID alone. And now you're saying to every college basketball roster, you get your year of eligibility back, which is a good thing. And it's the right thing. But now you've got guys coming up the pipeline out of high school or junior college or prep school. They're trying to get into college basketball. You've got people coming back that are seniors if they want to. You've got freshmen, sophomores, and juniors that technically are repeating their year. So it's like a logjam on a highway. It's like a gridlock. So for the top players in the country, I don't think it's a real problem because college coaches want their abilities. They want their talent and they want their physical measurables. And, you know, they'll find a spot for them playing time wise. It's for really probably 2/3 of the senior class. A lot of guys will get recruited at lower levels than maybe normally. Some guys won't get recruited because they simply weren't seen live. I have daily discussions with college coaches at all different levels, mostly at the Division I level, but I speak to a lot of Division II guys who are recruiting Division I players. And for them, it, you know, in some way, shape, or form, obviously, they don't like COVID, but they're taking advantage of the situation because Division II and Division III coaches have been allowed to go out live all this time. And that's a question I have for the NCAA is, why did you allow Division II and III coaches the ability to scout live spring, summer, and fall, but you didn't let Division I coaches out? Right. Now, I think we all know the reason for that is because the college coaches at Division I, if they go out, and they catch COVID and bring it back to their staff or to their team, that that puts that team on a pause from games. And every program wants to at least try to play 13 games, be eligible for the tournament. And it's all about the NCAA tournament. You know, they don't want, you know, the Kansas coaches, you know, missing games because of COVID, because that could hurt the NCAA tournament in the long run. So that's another dilemma that COVID has brought. But the college coaches don't get a chance to see guys live, but they do watch them on film. There's a lot of offers going on. A lot of kids have committed without ever making a visit. It's virtual recruiting, and it's here to stay. But I think it will go back to the live interaction, the live evaluation. But college coaches realize that this works, and the players, for some reason, maybe it's just because they grew up, you know, with a phone in their hand or an iPad since birth, that they don't mind being recruited virtually.
Yeah. Do you think, do you think with players, first of all, colleges making offers without ever seeing a kid in person, and vice versa, a kid potentially committing without ever showing up on campus physically, do you think that is going to negatively impact like the transfer portal in the coming years? Do you think there's going to be more than there already is?
Yes. It's a great point. There's been what, 700, 800 transfers in 1 year, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, to me, when people say it's all about relationships, you know, for me, before I go and work with somebody like yourself, when we did our camps, you know, we met several times. We had face-to-face interactions. When you just make a commitment to somebody over a computer, to me, it's easy to get out of that commitment someday because you just don't feel that connection.
Yeah. 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 That's, it's going to be scary in a few years. And sounds like the NCAA might be removing the red shirt year or the year of ineligibility, potentially in the next couple of years. If you transfer, is that true? Or is that, did I just make that up? Is that just something Jay Billis is pushing for that that I just think is already happening?
Whatever Jay says, I believe and trust, as you do. No, that what? Well, first of all, the other thing about the college coaches, I don't feel the connection is there between the kids, the parents, and the coaches virtually as much as it was in the past. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, think about the evaluation. You can watch 3, 4, 5 game tapes of someone and be impressed, but you're not watching them, you know, in a live environment, which is so different when you're evaluating. And you may not see the kid as many times on film as you can live. You know, you go to an event per se, and you can watch a kid play 5 times, maybe over the weekend. I guess you could do that on film, but I don't know how many coaches are making good evaluations based on, you know, limited knowledge about the player. And then limited interaction, and then really, in some ways, limited pure evaluation. So there's going to be a lot of mistakes, to your point, whether the coaches make mistakes and or the kids make mistakes, picking the wrong level, the coaches offering the wrong kids. And don't forget, the evaluation isn't just basketball. It's the personality type. You get a kid on campus, and he's a different person than you thought he was over the computer. That's on you. That's your fault.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point about going and being able to see a kid play 5 times over the course of a weekend or something like that, it's rare that a kid is going to have 5 really good games in a row. Whereas if the coach is just watching 5 virtual games, like, it's definitely going to be good games, unless it's live stream. But if it's like just film that was uploaded by them, like, of course it's going to be good games. So coaches want to see, I think, players go through tough times and have bad games and see how they'll react and their body language and how they treat their teammates and stuff too, which could be harder virtually, you know, if it's not like live stream stuff.
Yeah, there's so much you miss when you don't do it live. You get to see them walking off the court at halftime, coming out of the locker room at halftime, leaving the court at the end of the game. How about this one, Brendan? How about coming out after the game?
Yeah.
If a player has 25 points, but his team got blown out, I want to know, is he disappointed that they lost, or is he happy that because he got 25? You see that at a live game, you know, you see the bench interaction. So a lot of mistakes are going to be made, a lot more transfers. And yes, the transfers, when they do transfer, there's going to be a one-time transfer where you can play right away. So it'll add more chaos to your chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see for sure. Well, what about like tactical things that players could do right now just to put themselves in the best position? You know, I guess maybe we could stick with the film piece. Do you said game film is the most important, which I agree with as well, but obviously mixtapes are all the rage. And then you kind of got highlight films, which maybe are a longer version of that. And then you got game film. So if we separate the three, you kind of have your mixtape, which is a shorter deal with music and, you know, all that sort of all the effects and stuff. And then a highlight tape, which is, you know, maybe just a longer version of a mixtape, maybe a little less music and effects and all that. And then you have your straight up game film. How would you suggest parents and players and coaches go about handling that whole kind of range of, do they need all three? Should they just have one, you know, and how should they kind of use that to help their recruitment?
Well, there's a few things that I think players can do right now to continue to help themselves. Number one, and I think this is the most important mindset you can have, is you want to embrace this moment in time. You don't want to waste this moment in time. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're all wondering what's going to happen next in the world and in the world of basketball. So instead of worrying about things, continue to work on things. That's the control you have. And the number one thing that I would control or try to control and try to work on is my body. That's the single biggest advantage that kids have right now, is the ability to work on their physical measurables in terms of cutting down body fat, increasing strength, getting faster, more agile, better mobility, more flexibility. And I know you guys have your virtual camps and workouts, and those things by Nick and Christian have been fantastic, because I've been on those calls. And the workouts that the kids get, they need to do that on a full-time basis, because they got to keep their body ready to play a game, because there are going to be games, whether the coaches are there or not, somebody's filming the game. And then eventually when the coaches do come out, that's the first thing coaches told me they're going to look at. They're going to look at somebody's body. And if that body is not in good physical condition and ready to play, then they're going to feel that that player hasn't worked on their body and hasn't worked out. And they're making decisions maybe in April and May and June. And they want to see your body ready to go as best as it can be. So this is a great time, Brendan, for players to work on their physical conditioning. Also shooting. You can't shoot enough right now. If you can't play, that's fine, but you can shoot. You can find a basket, you can get a ball, and you can work on your layups, your float game, your pull up, and your threes. There's no excuse to be a bad shooter. The only excuse you have is a lot of kids don't have games and game rhythm and timing, and they're rusty, and everybody's rusty, but your body and your jump shot or your low post moves and your free throws, however you shoot the ball, that can be sharp. And of course your grade should be at the highest level they can, because that's another thing coaches are going to look at beside the body is the grades. Then if you struggled in the last 6 months because you haven't paid attention to your schoolwork, coaches are going to pass on you. They don't have time to see if you're going to be a good student. By the time they put a complete evaluation together, your body better be in great shape. Your grades better be as high as they can be. And, you know, then they'll watch you play and they'll watch your skill level and IQ. And then you need a point person to send whole game tapes out to college coaches that are the right level for you. And you need somebody that's in your circle that college coaches will respond to and college coaches respect. It doesn't have to be the most popular person that you know. It has to be somebody coaches will, like I said, really respect their opinion. They'll watch the tape, because whether it's an AAU coach or a high school coach or a trainer, somebody that college coaches, you know, have a relationship with, and they'll respond to that person and watch that tape and then give honest feedback.
Yeah. And do you suggest that that players proactively reach out to coaches, or do you think it's better that, like you said, they have a point person that is proactively reaching out to college coaches?
Yeah, I think it's good if the point person does it first at the appropriate level. And then once the tape is submitted and the coaches watch it, then I think the players should take the ownership and follow up. Parents should never get involved on the initial part of recruiting because coaches, as you know, don't want to deal with parents up front. Of course, they want to get to know the parents once they start recruiting the player and have interest. But I think the player has to take the ownership more so than ever this year at all levels once the point person has made some contact.
Yeah. What is your sense on if you have any on the NCAA potentially extending the dead period and then there being no spring live periods again, kind of like there were in the past? Do you have a sense of that, or is it?
No, I think it's going to be more wait and see as it's been. But I really think the NCAA only has one thing on their mind, is executing the NCAA tournament. And once that's over, I believe it's April 4th, then they'll start looking at weekends for college coaches to go out. And that's also based on where we are with our health as a country and where's the vaccine at in terms of how many people has it reached by April. I still think it's going to be with senior citizens and healthcare workers. By then, people like yourself and myself, I'm hearing, may not get it, the vaccine, until, early summer. But right. We don't know that. So I do hope the NCAA lets out coaches. And of course, they'll test the coaches before they leave and when they come back for a few weekends in April and then migrate into May and hopefully have a bigger July, maybe make July what it used to be of 21 days, 26 days when I was out on the road consecutive. Yeah. No breaks, no rest.
Three like long summer. Weekends.
Yeah, I went out from July, not just me, but all the coaches back then went out from July 6th to the 31st. We had no dead periods. We had no rest periods. The college coaches have it easy today.
Yeah.
But I do hope they open up June and extend July to make up for that backlog that you talked about.
Yeah, that makes sense. Last topic and the topic that everyone always wants to hit you up about is rankings. You are responsible for ESPN's high school rankings. Can you explain how much, just work and thought and effort goes into those kind of for each player and what rankings actually mean?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you do it, well, the way I do it is I treat it like a draft board, right? The NBA works at their draft all year round. Same thing I do for our rankings. You work at it all year round. In today's climate, you're watching film all the time or you're going out a little bit. And then you're evaluating their performances. You're trying to get statistics wherever you can that are valid and reliable statistics. I stay off the Twitter and Instagram for evaluation. That there's no evaluating going on social media. It's sitting down, watching whole game tape, taking notes on the players that are playing, and then plugging them into really a criteria that I have based on every player's ability. And so I look at the performance, and then as I watch them play repeatedly, I'm looking for productivity level. So what do you repeatedly do in a game? Do you just have one good game? What's your efficiency level? How do you impact the game without scoring? I have a list of like at least a dozen categories that I go through for every player, whether it's physical abilities, basketball IQ, skill, how do you impact the game without scoring? And then I go deep into the character traits myself, because I think the person can stop the player from being a good player. So if you're a person that has, we'll say, low character right now in your life, you're only 16, 17, you don't know how to work hard maybe, or maybe you're not, your attitude's not the best. Those things affect your play. And when it affects your play, there's a reason. When you don't play well, there's a reason why. It's either you don't have the ability to do it or that you don't care enough to do it. And I'm trying to find out which is the truth.
Yeah. When you are like, let's just take the 2023 class, for example, when you're ranking a specific class, like 2023, are you ranking for, okay, who's the best player right now? And then putting them, who are the best players right now? And then putting them in that order? Or is it who will be the best by the time they graduate or something like that?
It's a little bit of everything. No, it's a good question. It's a little bit of everything. So when you track performances, that tells you who are the best players right now based on their performance. Then you start to compute their productivity level, points, assists, rebounds. What's their productivity level defensively, not just statistically? You know, how do they impact games? How do they influence games? Then you got to look at the third tier, which is their upside, their potential. Okay. They may be a really high-end performance player, and they may produce, but their ability, their athleticism, their skill, and their physical measurables tell you that they're a small college player. So you do look at the upside. And then for me, I take it to the next level is, you know, can they be an NBA draft pick, first or second round? I think for high school rankings, I can't look past that. I can't tell you who's going to be a great pro. Nobody knows who's going to be a great pro, but I do have a good feel of who can be drafted in second round, first round, lottery as time goes on. So it's really their performances, their productivity level, their potential, and then projection. But so it's a formula of a little bit of everything. But in the class of 2023, we're only ranking 25 kids. So that's more on upside than anything else. We're looking at who's the most talented players that we can find right now. But as those kids grow in that class, now you got to go from potential to production, to dominating performances. And if you have all three, then you're usually in that 25 that we rank, or maybe you're not performing really well, but you have huge upside. So it's a little bit of everything. And then as they get older, you know, the criteria continues on performance, production, and potential. Now we're starting to look at, you know, NBA draftability.
Okay. Last question. So is there anyone in college right now that was in your rankings, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, that is playing really, really well, that you really like?
Luca Garza, Iowa. When I saw him, I fell in love with him. I like bigs.
Where was he ranked?
He was at the back end of the 100.
Oh, and, wow. Okay.
You know, in that spot,
like 80 to 100, somewhere in there, or are you
might
talking
have been
about
even might have been 90 to 100, 90s. But wow. You know, it's who we see, when we see them, and how many times we see them. And look, rankings are never right, no matter who does them. Whoever does mock drafts, they're never right.
Kind of an imperfect science sort of deal.
Yeah, but you just want to be accurate with your evaluations. Like, you know, Buddy Hield, I'll just go back a little further. Buddy Hield, the great shooter from Oklahoma, you know, was great in his junior year, I think, at Oklahoma. And people said, oh, Buddy Hield, you know, was he ranked in high school? Well, he wasn't ranked in the top 100, but he was a four-star recruit. Not only do we rank players, but we grade them. So Buddy was a high major recruit, but he wasn't a ranked recruit. So when he blew up, so to speak, that's the path that we had him on for 4 years. We don't rank and grade guys based on 1 year in college. Everything is based off of 4 years. If they do it earlier, great. So that's what we do. So Luca Garza was a guy that just, he was so productive and he was big. And as you know, the big guys get better over time. The more they touch the ball, the more they play. And to his credit, to Fran McCafferty's credit at Iowa, you know, he's up for College Player of the Year.
Yeah. And before we started recording, you mentioned Jalen Suggs too. He's really playing well. And Gonzaga looks incredible as well this season. What are your thoughts on Jalen?
Well, I really have liked him, Brendan, since I saw him as a sophomore. Highly competitive football, basketball player. Could always shoot it just well enough, but had great speed, the ability to get to the cup and finish. More than anything, highly competitive kid with really high-end athleticism, toughness, and IQ. And then his skills continued to get better. And he finished at number five or six in our rankings. And NBA scouts are telling me now that he's a top three pick in the NBA draft in 21.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. We'll stop it here. I think you said you have a big high school tournament you're covering this weekend. Is that right?
Yes. In Washington, D.C., there's a huge high school tournament called the St. James, and it's outside of D.C. in Virginia. This field is loaded. It's very similar to the Hoop Hall Classic.
Okay.
So we're going to have Sunday night at 7 o'clock on ESPN. We have IMG and Montverde. I mean, that is that's a heavyweight battle right there.
Yeah, that's like usually the national championship, isn't it?
Yeah, that could be a Final Four game. And you know what? There's probably 10 high major recruits in that game. Two really good coaches. But then on Monday, we have a quadruple header. We have Oak Hill. We have La Lumiere. We have Wasatch from Utah. Just a great schedule. Dozens of ranked players. And then guys that, you know, are very good players that are starting to emerge. And hopefully there'll be some sleepers in there and guys that will help themselves, not just at Division I, but all levels.
Yeah. Who's the number one team right now?
Right now, it's Montverde is one and IMG is 1A. They're that close.
Okay. Is Oak Hill three or are they?
Yeah, they're inside the top 10, I believe, in terms of team rankings. But Sunrise Christian is out there and they are fabulous. They have the number one point guard in the class, Kennedy Chandler. He's going to Tennessee. He'll play on Monday as well.
Okay. Well, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 12th. I'm going to put this thing out tomorrow, the 13th. So everyone who's listening, tune in this weekend. And I believe you said Monday as well.
Yeah, Sunday night, ESPN, and Monday is ESPNU all day.
Okay, so Sunday and Monday. And online, I mean, folks can find you on Twitter. They can find you on Instagram. But I also want to shout out your website, coachbiancardi.com. Is that correct?
You got it. Game tape evaluation, camps, and private coaching. Trying to help as many kids as I can.
Yeah, so this was a very general advice on this podcast. So if anyone out there wants more personalized advice, coachbiancardi.com, shoot him an email and he will hook you up. So coach, appreciate you being on. Good luck with, I think you said the games tonight or tomorrow, whenever that is, but then also this upcoming Sunday and Monday.
All right. Thank you for this opportunity and for all you do for the PSB kids.
Of course. Thanks coach. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.